We are now in Psalm 54. And so I will read God's word to you, and please give it your careful attention, because it is God's holy word. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, "Is not David hiding among us?" O God, save me by your name, and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. When you see that term Selah or Salah, it means pause. If you were singing, you would pause right there. Let's pray. Our God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would impress the truth of this psalm and all the psalms in our relation with you on our hearts today. That we would respond to you the way you have called us to. And may it encourage those who most need it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we consider the different types of psalms in the next three Sundays, the word psalms in Book of Psalms means praises. In Hebrew, it's the same word as praises. You could call it the Book of Praises. The psalms were written for the devotional life of the Israelites. It was written for their public devotional life. When they gathered together, they would pray the psalms or sing. Some were written to be sung. Others were written for prayer. But it was also for the private devotional life of the Israelites. Whatever they were going through, they would have something to guide them of how to respond to God, what to say or what to sing or to pray. The Psalms focus on the Israelites' response to God. Other books may focus more on what God has done. The Psalms focus is how we respond. God has called Israel to be his nation. He has given them promises. Now, how should the Israelites respond? And the answer is in the Psalms. And there are three types of Psalms, or three types of responses to those God has made promises to. The first is praise. And so there are psalms known as praise psalms. We opened with a praise psalm. And that tells us who God is, what he has done, and then what our response should be, how we should praise him. The second type of psalm is a thanksgiving psalm. You prayed about something, you were in need, God supplied, and now you're thanking him for meeting that need, for answering that prayer. Thanksgiving psalms. And then the third psalm is a lament psalm. That's when you bring your suffering to God. Whatever that is. It may be your repentance and your own sin. It may be suffering in general. Whatever you're going through, or the world, suffering in the world. Or it may be that confusion that you don't know why God is doing something. Any questions you bring to the Lord, those are lament psalms, and that's the psalms we will look at. We will look at this morning. Now, the lament psalms always lack specifics. In other words, when somebody, and usually David, he crafted most of the psalms, but when they're crafting a psalm, they have a specific circumstance in mind. They are lamenting over something. And yet, in the psalm itself, we're never told what it is. And the reason is that so you can use it for your lament also. So instead of save me from something specific, it's simply save me in general. And we don't really know exactly when reading the psalm what's going on. So you can use your suffering and use that psalm. So when David was writing these, he was aware he was not just writing for himself. He was offering a devotional guide for Israel. that each Israelite would be able to use these words for his own situation. So, for example, when David is confessing his sin, he never mentions the sin. He doesn't say, Lord, I have sinned with Bathsheba, and I need... We couldn't really pray that, right? Hopefully. But it's very general. Lord, my sin is weighing upon me. Please forgive me. Well, I can pray that. We can all pray that and apply it to whatever sin it may be. So the lament psalms show us that in a relationship with God, when you know the Lord, that relationship encompasses every possible emotion, positive or negative. John Calvin wrote of the Psalms, "The Psalms is an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, for there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Or rather, the Holy Spirit has here drawn to all the life of grief, sorrow, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, confusions, in short, all the distracting emotions with which the minds of men are wont to be agitated." Now that's why people, God's people, have loved the Psalms for thousands of years. There's nothing you can be going through that you cannot find expressed in the Psalms. There's no emotion you can have that you cannot find some psalm expressing that emotion to God, positive or negative. And so this morning we're looking at Psalm 54, which is a very typical lament psalm. And we have a heading for this lament psalm. Most psalms don't have a heading. But here we're told of the circumstance. But again, David leaves that out of the actual psalm itself. But we're told it's a maskil, that's another word for a song, that David composed for the Israelites to sing or to use privately when they are suffering. And we're told that it's when the Ziphites had turned on David. Now, just a brief background. God had anointed young David to be the king. He slays Goliath, and the whole nation sees that he will be the next king. They know the promises of God. And yet, Saul, the king, is jealous, and he tries to kill David. So David has to flee and hide while Saul is searching for him. He has 600 faithful men with him, but Saul has huge armies. David finds a good hiding place just west of the Dead Sea. And there it seemed he was safe until the local Jews, the Ziphites there, decided that they knew where David was and they went and told Saul. And so Saul's armies are now coming out because he knows exactly where David is hiding. And they're coming out to kill David. And David composes this lament psalm to God in that situation. Now, laments usually have four basic parts. You can see this in almost all the psalms of lament. First, there is a cry for help. And we see that here at the beginning. Oh, God, save me by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. When David writes, save me by your name, God's name is his identity. To Israel, he is Yahweh, the God who has made promises to them to be their God. So David is saying, be true to your promise. Save your king. You have made promises to me as Yahweh. Vindicate me by your might. That would be another way of saying, Saul is your enemy. He hates you. But I'm one of yours. Act in a way that demonstrates that I truly belong to you. And Saul is the enemy. Defeat him, that your promises would be true, that I would be the king. So he's crying out for God to be faithful to his promise as Saul is coming to kill him. Now, after there's a cry for help in all these psalms, there then are the reasons. Why is the psalmist crying out to God? And notice it moves on. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Now, there are really three emotions he is expressing to God. One is the pain of feeling betrayed. You see, what was so painful about the Ziphites is they were from Judah. Where was David from? Judah. These were his own tribesmen. If anyone should have been supportive of David, it would be his own people where he was raised. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like Christ, right? So he thought he would be safe among his own people, his own villagers. And they're the ones that turn against him to protect themselves or to receive rewards from Saul. They go and betray David. And David adds, they do not care. They do not set God before their eyes. In other words, they know God had declared David king. The prophet had announced it. And yet they don't care. They don't care what God wants or who God has chosen as king. They simply want more from Saul. And so they're going to turn on David. And so it's the pain of being of feeling betrayed. We've all felt betrayed by people before. And here David expresses it to God as he cries out. The second emotion is obviously fear, right? 600 men does not an army make when thousands are coming and surrounding you. And so David expresses his fear. Oh, Lord, save me. Saul is coming with more men than we can fight. And you have to do something, oh, Lord, please. And then finally, there's some confusion expressed here, too. Lord, this doesn't make sense. You said I would be the next king, and yet I'm about to die. And I will not be the king. There's that why, Lord, expressed in the Lament Psalms. If you said this, then why is this happening? Now, again, the Psalms are to be used by all God's people, so you can replace your circumstance with David's or use your own life instead. What pain do you feel that you want to call out to God about? What lament would it be? Lord, I am lonely. You said you'd provide for me. It can be, Lord, you said you'd take care of me and I wouldn't have needs, but what about my job? I need a job, or we need to pay the bills and it doesn't look good. It can be my sin. Lord, why do I always struggle with this sin? Why do I feel so bitter against this person? I want that to end. Oh, Lord, do something. Or I worry about my family situation. Lord, this is difficult for me. Marriage, children, singleness, whatever it is that causes pain in your soul, you are to cry out to God about it. Now, often people, Christians, think, well, I don't want to express this to God. Wouldn't that show that I'm not very faithful? That doesn't sound like faith to say, Lord, why are you doing this? Or this is too difficult. But the Lord is telling us here to bring all of our emotions to him. He wants his children to bring everything to him, positive or negative, any way you feel. Even if it seems you're somewhat confused, Lord, you said this, but this is happening in my life. I don't understand. Instead of hiding those things from the Lord, the Psalms bid us bring those to the Lord. It is an act of worship to do so. And so we have the cry for help. We have the reasons for the cry. And then thirdly in the song, we have a rehearsing of God's promises. And that's what David does next. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. He reminds himself of what God has promised Israel, and specifically what God has promised him as Israel's king. You are my helper. God constantly called himself Israel's helper. You are the upholder of my life. You are the one that will protect me until I will be king as you promised. Judge enemies in your faithfulness. God had said he will curse Israel's enemies. And right now, Saul was Israel's enemy. And so we are to remember, even as we cry out to God, the gospel promises that God will never leave us or forsake us. I know you have said, O Lord, you will never leave me or forsake me. All things work together for good. These are promises to me. God will make all things right and judge my enemies. You have made these promises to me, Lord. I'm remembering these promises, even as I cry out to you, that they don't seem to be fulfilled at the time. And then the lament psalms usually end with a declaration of future thanks. And notice that's how this one ends. Not everyone, but the majority of them end this way. David writes, with a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. David has anticipatory faith. He looks ahead. He's basically saying, Lord, when you get me out of this, I'm going to thank you for it. It's going to happen, even though my faith may be weak and I'm crying out to you. You have promised I will be king. And so one day I will offer a free will offering. Free will means beyond prescribed by the law of Moses. An extra offering of thanks. He's saying, one day I will survive this and return to the tabernacle, and I will offer an offering of thanksgiving to you. So you can have faith and doubt at the same time, right? The Psalms teach that. That there's a flicker of faith in us, but there's still a lot of doubt. And we see that as David cries out to God for help, but then declares, I know you will do what you said, even if it's hard to believe. Now you see here in David the difference between the complaint of a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever complains against God. They're simply angry. They just want a better life, and they think they deserve better. They're not interested in worshiping God or thanking God. But the believer struggles that he's been given promises, but God doesn't seem to be fulfilling them. He wants to worship God, but he's struggling to do so. And he is expressing that struggle. But at the end, he will be there giving thanks to God. Now notice how the psalm ends. Almost all the psalms of lament end this way. It ends with a statement that is in the past tense, even though the answer has not been given yet. So David writes, he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. You think, well, that's odd. He's in the cave. Saul is surrounding him, and he speaks as if it's already done. God has already delivered him. This is a use of the past tense, which really is looking to the future, but saying it is so surely going to happen. God will be true to his promise that I can speak as if it's already happened. Think of Romans 8, where it says, those who are justified have been glorified. Well, we're not glorified until Christ returns, but it's so surely going to happen that Paul can use the past tense. And that's what David is doing here. He still has faith, even though it's weak, that God will come through, even to the point of saying it's like it's already happened. Now, we have to raise the question, how does David have any faith at all in this circumstance? From all perspectives, it looks like it's over. He's been found out. Thousands are surrounding him. He does not have the manpower to fight them. And we know Saul wants David dead. Why would David have faith that this is going to work out? Well, the answer is that faith is a supernatural gift from God, isn't it? There is no natural answer to that question. Faith is a gift that all Christians have, that even in your worst doubts, there's a small flicker of faith given to you by the Holy Spirit that keeps you going, even as you struggle through it, as David often did. Now, do you know what happened in the story in 1 Samuel? If you don't remember, that Saul was about to surround him. He had learned exactly what cave David was in. When they were about to attack, somebody came and announced that the Philistines had moved in to the area their armies had left to come get David. And they have to turn back right away and go fight the Philistines unless they lose their kingdom. And so Saul gets the report, and he has to turn right around and go back north, and David is free. And he moves on. God had answered this prayer in the psalm. Now, what kind of psalm do you think he composed after that? Probably a Thanksgiving psalm, right? And so we learn how to relate to God. And I want to close with then 4 points about the Lament Psalms and your life as a Christian. First, every time in the New Testament where a Lament Psalm is quoted, it's quoted and there's a phrase next to it that says, and this was fulfilled in or by Jesus Christ. You see, the Psalms are also prophetic. David is looking ahead and writing of the Messiah and his suffering. And so the New Testament says when you read of David's suffering, you're actually also getting a glimpse, a picture of Christ's suffering. And so Christ ends up using the words of David, and he cried out lament psalms, did he not? What's the most famous lament psalm Christ cried out? My God, why are you forsaking me? He took the words of Psalm 22 on his lips. And so when you read these lament psalms, you are also entering into Christ's suffering for you. He was there to suffer for your sins, not his own. And that's really the only reason you can pray these, is because Christ first prayed them suffering for you. He represented you. Now these psalms can become yours. Now you can be assured God will hear you because Christ interceded for you, that you are now God's people. And so always remember Christ and what he has done when you think of your suffering, that he suffered and cried these for you, that you would be forgiven and know God. Secondly, the Psalms unite all believers throughout all ages. There are many differences between David's time and our time, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But when you read the Psalms, you see that all God's people go through the same things. We share the same fears, the same doubts, the same faith, the same praises, the same God. The Psalms unite us, what we all go through, what we all feel, how we all respond to the God who has redeemed us. Thirdly, now that Christ has saved you, you have a relationship with God. You are being taught how to respond to him. You see, you have not received all the promises of God yet. So your life is always a lament at some level. And you are to bring your lament to the Lord. It may be just the condition of the world. There's so much abuse out there. There's so much lying. There's so much sin, Lord. That's a lament to God when you're frustrated at the injustice. It may be the life of your family. My family life is not what I thought it'd be, O Lord. We bring all that pain, whatever it is, to the Lord. It may be financial. It may be depression. It may be it seems that God isn't listening. And he seems to be listening to other Christians. But when I pray, God doesn't seem to answer. What do we do with that? The Psalms say, bring that to God and lament about it. Let him hear your cries. The lament is a deep form of worship. And so do not be afraid to express your true feelings to the Lord. That's what the Psalms teach us. God wants to hear your honest and real thoughts and feelings and cries. Many have noted, and it's true, that our modern hymns and songs are too short on laments. They're all upbeat, as if we're always supposed to be happy and feeling great about Christianity and our life with God. Where are the laments? That part of our life. You see that. You certainly see that in the old Negro spirituals, right? That's what makes them so good. Because they understood lament. And they sang the lament-type psalms. And yet we've taken them away. And now expectations are we should always be happy. And feeling great. But the psalms teach us otherwise, don't we? That's why so many of the psalms are lament psalms. They're real life. Finally, as we close, whenever you gather for worship, you are doing what David said here. Notice how he said, I will bring a freewill offering, thanking you for answering my prayers. When you come to church and you sing a hymn and you give thanks, you are fulfilling your vows. You are saying, Lord, you have provided for me another week. You are still my God, and I'm here publicly to give thanks in the temple, not that the building's the temple, but in heaven, to give thanks in the assembly. That's what the Psalms say to do. We come and thank God for providing another week for us, for being our God. Now we come publicly, and the book of Hebrews says, the vows and the sacrifices you offer are the praise coming from your lips to the Lord, thanking him. So you are fulfilling the Psalms like this every time you gather and you thank him. But when will that finally be fulfilled? In glory, right? When Christ returns, the laments end at that point, and they turn into psalms of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Let's pray.